Hello. Good morning, ladies. Get your coffee and come on in. It's a good day. Yeah. So I just want to open up in prayer. Natasha is going to be speaking today. Father God, thank you so much for this day that you have created. We ask that you send your Holy Spirit into this building and touch our hearts. Guide Natasha's words today as she speaks to you and to us, through you to us. Lord, we're talking about obedience today and submission. And so I pray that the message would be fresh, the message would be non-divisive, the discussions would be good in honoring you, Father. We ask this in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Nate's going to open us up in song, wherever he is. Otherwise, I'll have to sing. Is anybody a good singer here? A cappello? Can we sing a cappello? Oh, here's a singer. Here's a singer. Nate. Got out of that one.
All right, let's stand to our feet. Your blood has my future written, and your heart loves with no condition. I'm invited into freedom, forgiven, whiter than the snow. There's a living fount I know, where grace and mercy overflow. Love has come to set me free. I've got this joy inside of me. All my delight, all my delight is found in you. All my delight, yeah, all my delight is found in you. Your joy is a force that can't be broken, and your hope is a gift that won't be stolen. Oh, it's contagious, infectious, it's burning in my soul. There's a living fount I know, where grace and mercy overflow. Love has come to set me free. I've got this joy inside of me. All my delight, all my delight is found in you. All my delight, yeah, all my delight is found in you. Find me in the flood, find me in the living water. Death is overcome, we're full of resurrection power. Find me in the flood, find me in the living water. Death is overcome, we're full of resurrection power. There's a living fount I know, where grace and mercy overflow. Love has come to set me free. I've got this joy inside of me. Oh, there's a living fount I know, where grace and mercy overflow. Love has come to set me free. I've got this joy inside of me. All my delight, all my delights, all my delight is found in you. All my delight, yeah, all my delight is found in you. Your love, O Lord, is strength to my soul. Hope for tomorrow, it won't let go. Your presence is the joy of my life. To you I lift my eyes. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will sing of your love forevermore. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. Your word alone, a lamp to my feet, a light to my path as you're leading me. Your ways, O Lord, are higher than mine. To you I lift my eyes. As for me, as for me in my house, we will serve the Lord. We will sing of your love forevermore. As for me in my house, we will serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. Open up every door, write it on every wall, sing it in every room. Open up every door, write it on every wall, sing it in every room. Open up every door, write it on every wall, sing it in every room, Jesus. Open up every door, write it on every wall, sing it in every room, Jesus. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will sing of your love forevermore. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. As for me, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will sing of your love forevermore. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. Open up every door, write it on every wall, sing it in every room, Jesus. Open up every door, write it on every wall, sing it in every room, Jesus. You can have it all, Lord. Every part of my world. Take this life and breathe on this heart that is now yours. You can have it all, Lord. Every part of my world. Take this life and breathe on this heart that is now yours. I sing, oh, the joy. Oh, the joy I found. Surrendering my crowns at the feet of the King, who surrendered everything. Oh, the peace. And oh, the peace that comes when I'm broken and undone by your unfailing grace. I can lift my voice and say, you can have it all, Lord. Every part of my world. Take this life and breathe on this heart that is now yours. You can have it all, Lord. Every part of my world. Take this life and breathe on this heart that is now yours. There's no greater call. There is no greater call than giving you my all. I lay it all down. I lay it all down. There is no greater love, no higher name above. I lay it all down. I lay it all down. There is no greater call than giving you my all. I lay it all down. I lay it all down. There is no greater love, no higher name above. I lay it all down. You can have it all. And you can have it all, Lord. Every part of my world. Take this life and breathe on this heart that is now yours. Oh, you can have, and yeah, you can have it all, Lord. Every part of my world. Take this life and breathe on this heart that is now yours. This heart that is now yours. This heart that is now yours. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to come. at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I'll sing that again. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that your truth, God, would soak deeper and deeper into our hearts and into our minds, into our lives, Lord. And what an amazing thing it is to learn your scripture, Lord, and to apply it. And just be with us now, Lord. Be glorified in this time and have your way. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Why don't you guys find someone you haven't said hi to yet? Give them a hug.
I love the way you always say that. Find someone that I have to do. You sound like you're at like in a big, I don't know, like at a monster truck rally.
Get out.
Yeah. Oh no, I don't need this. Good morning. So before we get started, Lorraine and Robin's group asked if they could shout out the memory verse for you all. They've been working really hard at memorization. So they're going to shout out their memory verse, and any of you other groups want to do it next week, let me know. Okay? But oh, okay. All right, good job. Okay, so, wow, really excited to talk about this passage. because we all really like to talk about submission, right? That's like our favorite topic. And unfortunately, we are going to talk about it a lot over the next few weeks. So hold on to your hats, okay? So verse 13, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. So we all have a very strong connotation with the word submit to obedience. But that's actually not what the word means. So the word submit is actually a military term, which just means to arrange yourself in formation under the commander. So it's a lot more to do with order than it is about obedience. The definition that I think really encapsulates the heart of the word is it's a voluntary attitude of cooperation. So that key word there, attitude, I think is what we're going to really focus on, because that goes much farther than our actions and has so much more to do with where our heart is in relation to those actions. So what would you say would be, considering this has to do with the heart, what would be the enemy of submission? What do you think?
Rebellion.
What was that?
Rebellion.
Rebellion. Okay.
Defiance.
Disobedience. What about pride? So when we're looking at the heart, we rebel in our hearts with pride. So the pandemic kind of brought up, I think, a little bit more rebellion in many of us that we didn't see coming. I know I did. And a lot of people made different choices on how they were going to respond to some of the ordinances that were given. So some people chose to obey, and they kept order by obedience. Some people quietly but peacefully made choices that were in line with their convictions from the Holy Spirit. And other people made those same choices but cried loudly about it. Now, we here in America have a lot of freedom that other countries don't have. So we are allowed to cry loudly in the streets. The law says we are allowed to cry loudly in the streets. But we answer to a much higher power, a much higher level of peace and submission than what our government tells us. And so it's that voluntary attitude of cooperation that is key here. In Matthew 12, it says, "For the mouth speaks out which feels the heart." So when our heart is full of pride, when we feel like our rights are being taken away and our egos are bruised, that is what we are going to project out of our mouths. Verse 17 says, "Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king." And so our response has to meet all of these instructions here. And our choices need to honor all people. They need to love our sisters and brothers in Christ. We need to fear God, because sometimes we may come to make a choice of obeying the government or obeying God. And we have to honor the king. So again, it is our attitude. It is the words that come out of our mouth. Are they loving people? Are they honoring people? Are they loving our brothers and sisters in Christ? Because our first priority is sharing Christ with others. And if our words are condemning, if our words are angry, if our heart is bitter, is judgmental, then we're destroying our testimony to people that are looking at us, that are watching us, and watching the choices that we make, but also watching how we make those choices, what they look like. My little guy, I have a little guy, he's 12, and he did ask me when he would stop being the little guy, and I told him never. He is the youngest child, and I don't know if it's across the board, but the youngest one just doesn't seem to have quite the structure that the older ones have. So he got in trouble at school, and we had a meeting with all of his teachers. So he's in middle school, all the teachers, and they're talking about some inappropriate behavior in the classroom, some topics that he's bringing up, and so it was an embarrassing moment. So we went home and we started talking about some of the choices that he's been making. And we're talking about Philippians 4:8 and whatever he's supposed to think about, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, right, pure, lovely, of good repute. The things that you have learned, received, heard, and seen in practice from Jesus, right? And then the God of peace will be with you. So we talked about that. I can't be there to tell him. I can't preempt every situation that he's going to have in the classroom to know when things are appropriate. But if he fills his mind with all of these things that the Lord tells us we have seen by his example, we will know how to apply that. And like in the Bible doesn't tell us about when a pandemic comes and you're asked to do X, Y, and Z, this is what you need to do. He doesn't tell us that, right? But we can look at his example and we can apply his character into every situation. And so in talking to this about him, I used to think those little bracelets, those little WWJD bracelets were kind of corny, but I thought about he needed that. He needed that little reminder. So I got him one of those little bracelets, and it was just for him because no one else could see it. It was black, and it was black lettering, WWJD. And I gave that to him, and I said, I want you to, when you're in the classroom and you're thinking, you know, should I talk about Cocaine Bear, which is this preview for a movie that he saw. It's just awesome. So when he says, should I talk about Cocaine Bear in class? And he can look at his bracelet and say, would Jesus talk about Cocaine Bear? The Bible doesn't tell us, you know, if we should talk about, but would he? No. So let's not talk about that. So our choices and our words need to glorify God in everything that we do. We need to be thinking about our testimony in everything that we do and everything that we say. And you can ask yourself, what is my motivation for making this choice? Because we all have choices to make every day, whether it's, you know, pertaining to the government, whether it's pertaining to your boss at work, we have choices. And are they motivated by pride or are they motivated by the Holy Spirit? All right, so moving on to some more fun stuff. We're going to talk about slavery. sorry, no good transition there. And this is a passage that I continue to chew on. It says, servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. So the first thing that I want to say is that God does not condone slavery. By him including this, it doesn't mean that he is putting his stamp of approval on slavery. But this is something that was part of the world, their world, when Peter was writing this. So I read that in Rome at this time when he was speaking, there were actually more slaves than there were free people. So this was just something that the majority of the population had to endure, had to learn how to adjust to. And that's what that word submit, again, is speaking to, is how do we adjust ourselves in the parameters that we are given? And we need to learn how to be savvy within those parameters. Many years ago, but my dad is from India, and I had gone to India to visit some relatives, and my uncle, who I stayed with, actually all my uncles, they're extremely wealthy, a wealth I can't comprehend, and I stayed a few weeks with him, and they had several servants that lived there in their home. And there was this little girl, I think she was about 14, and she was the maid. Was very uncomfortable for me. It is not a concept that I could relate to in any way, even though this was before I had kids. I had little siblings of that same age, and I couldn't imagine them spending their day doing this. You know, they had trouble brushing their teeth in the morning, so that they would be solely responsible for keeping that house immaculate, and the floors are marble, everything is marble, white marble, so it's just super clean. I'd get up in the morning to go to the restroom, and I'd come back, and my bed is made. And, oh, just so disconcerting. And I had this conversation with my uncle, because I was really, really disturbed by this 14-year-old little girl, like, following me around all day long, cleaning up anything I touched. And he said to me, you don't understand. you don't understand this culture. I actually rescued her because her parents couldn't afford to feed her, and they would have sold her to someone far worse for a far worse life that I couldn't relate to. He said, I rescued her. I have given her a home. She has food to eat. She has a bed to sleep on instead of on the streets, on the floor. And he said, and when she becomes of age, I will pay her dowry, which was another concept I had difficulty with. And he will arrange a spouse for her. But if he didn't do that, she would not have a life. She would never get married. She would never have a family of her own. And what seemed to me as the most foreign of concepts was just their world. And that is just how they operated. And that is the way the world was at the time of this writing. And slavery may not look the same today, but we still have a master. You maybe have an employer. And this employer may be kind and may be unkind. And you're going to have to make choices within your parameters that are going to follow your convictions and are going to preserve your testimony for Christ. So it may seem that verses 13 through 20 is the Lord is just really asking a lot of us that we are going to have to submit to unkind rulers, that we're going to have to obey an unreasonable employer or find another job. There's always that. We have that option. Some people don't, but most of us do. But God doesn't ask us to do anything he hasn't already done. So Jesus went willingly to the cross. He was willingly nailed to the cross, even though he committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. So he was perfect and blameless. And yet he went willingly to the cross and suffered beyond our imagination, nothing that we have ever endured. He did that willingly, and he was perfect. We can't even say we're perfect. I mean, can we really say that we've been treated unjustly? No. But God did this. And he never complained. His attitude was a voluntary cooperation. He paid the price for our sins so that we wouldn't have to. And that is love. Okay, let's pray. Lord God, Father, we just thank you for your example, Lord. And as hard as it is to make those choices, Lord, and how dying to ourselves it is to have an attitude of cooperation. Lord, you did that beyond anything that we could ever respond to, Lord. You went to that cross willingly because you loved us that much. Father, I just pray that as we break into our small groups, that you would be in the midst of those conversations, Lord, that our words would be loving to our sisters, that we would have that understanding that these are all choices that we have to make, Lord, and we all make different choices that we're comfortable with in keeping with your commands, Lord. Father, I pray that this will not turn into a political conversation, that we won't focus on all of the exceptions, that we will just think about how we can honor people, love our sisters, and fear you all at the same time. And I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.